a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again today for the Word for Life radio ministry. And with me in the studio is Dr. Rich Schmidt. And Rich, we have been talking about our personal testimonies and about our call into the ministry. I was reminded of 1 Timothy 1:12, where the Apostle Paul was talking about his call into the ministry. He said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And I think what you have described in the past broadcast, the idea of faithful, serving the Lord, and at that point, then God says, okay, I'm calling you, then he enables you. That's exactly what he did with me.
Yes. It's amazing what God does. We're not speaking in coy terms or trying to be super spiritual. I mean, this is, if you know the Lord and the Lord's working in your life, he really does do these things. It's not made up. I always get concerned that people might think, well, you know, these guys are in ministry, so they got to make it sound good. It's not about making it sound good.
Right.
It's an absolute conviction that God has done this in our lives. He's changed us, and we're just thrilled to death. I got to say this, Pastor, these broadcasts to me have been very encouraging, motivational, and if our listeners, they've missed over the last couple of broadcasts, this is stuff they really need to get back into the archives, and just tremendous, and I really appreciate what you've been sharing with us.
You as well.
All right, well, let's go to a different concept.
Okay.
We talked about how we got saved. We talked when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We talked about how God worked in our lives to call us into our ministries, if you will. And now I want to go to another area, and this one means a lot to me, especially with you being in the room. Pastor, I have, again, and I've said this in every broadcast that we've done, I have watched your life. And more than that, I've watched you with your dear wife, Ruth. And your relationship is one of the, and I'm not exaggerating, folks, they have one of the sweetest relationships as a husband and wife that I have ever witnessed in my life. And I truly mean that. It's the real deal. It's not fake. I mean, I've been with them on trips. I've been with them in ministry situations. I've been with them just going out to eat. And it's the real deal, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So what I'd like to do, first of all, is go about how you and Ruth met. How do you, I mean, good night. This is a tough subject. I've got three children that have gone through this. I've gone through it. How in the world do you know who the right person is to marry?
Well, I will say that I dated a couple of girls that if I had married, I wouldn't be in the ministry.
All right.
So God protected me during those stupid years, shall we say?
Well, that brings to mind a verse in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Now, God had just created everything, and he explains that in Genesis chapter 1, six literal days of, did I say six literal days of creation?
I believe
creation?
That's what you said.
I think so.
Right.
All right, so in six literal days, God creates everything, not some things, everything.
Right.
And then in Genesis chapter 2, he's like, you know what, I'm going to expand on the creation of Adam and Eve a little bit. So he caveats, if you will, and he goes back to the story of Adam and Eve. And I shouldn't say the story because it's not a story. It's an actual account of what God did.
Right.
After the first 5 days of creation, God looked at everything and he said, it is good. Then in day six, God goes through the things he created. Then he creates Adam, the first man on earth. And for the first time in the Bible, here's what God says. In verse 18 of chapter 2, and the Lord God said, it is not good. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. What's not good? And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
Right.
Now, So God sets up this first institution of the family, the first institution, if you will, of marriage. So God is very invested in marriages. So that brings me to the big question. If God is involved in marriages, has God laid down principles that you used to find the right lady, if you will, the right spouse, the right person?
Right.
And how in the world does you get to the point where it's like, yeah, I really know this is the right one that God has chosen for me, if you will?
Right.
So maybe you can expand a little bit on how that happened with you.
After dating a little bit in high school, and every once in a while, first couple of years of college, I finally just got serious and I decided to make a list of the character traits that I was looking for in a wife. So after I would then go out on a date, I would come back and I'd pull that list out and I would check off if that girl seemed to have those character traits.
Okay.
That just helped me not to become emotionally involved, you know, before I really analyzed, is this a person that would not only make a great wife, but a great mother to any children that God would give us.
Well, let me ask you, when you were going through this, were you a Christian at the time?
Yes, I got saved at six.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so consequently, God's will for my life at that point was very important.
Yes.
And so I would not date anyone who was not a Christian.
Why?
Because every date is a future potential mate.
Okay.
That's what my mother always said. And I argued with that for a little bit, but I recognized that that's true. And then I came to the point of deciding, you know, I've dated some Christians that would not be good wives and whatever God called me to be and do. They wouldn't necessarily want to follow God's calling, wouldn't necessarily be a great mother. So I finally decided I don't want to just date Christians. I want to date growing Christians.
Wow. So you really upped the ante, so to speak.
Correct. And so consequently, I would come back from my dates and check off the list. And so I was a junior in college, and my second semester of that junior year, I started class for that first day of class, and I was sitting on the back row. Of course, that's where I usually sat.
Okay.
And
I did the opposite, by
the
way.
Yeah, yeah. I sat on the back row, and next to the last row, Ruth was sitting in front of me, kind of just angled off to the side a little bit. The teacher was late for class, first day of class. Wasn't there on time. Bell rang, no teacher. So everybody was just sitting around talking. And so I got to talking to her. Did not know her. I don't know that I've ever seen her on campus.
Okay.
But after a while, I just pulled out my billfold, and I was showing her some pictures of girls I'd gone to high school with. I'd never done this before.
Well, that's a great way to start a relationship.
I've never done. I wasn't trying to start a relationship.
Okay.
We're just cutting up. So I showed her a picture of a girl that I'd gone to high school with, and I told her that this had been my fiancé. I'm just spinning the yarn just as long as could be. And she said, really? She says, well, but what happened to her? I said, well, she died. And she said, what? She said, how'd she die? And I said, oh, she couldn't get the knife out of her heart when I broke up with her. And laughed.
Okay.
Now, at this point, she is bawling. And she said, you don't know it, but my husband was killed after just a few months of our marriage. I'm a widow.
Wow.
Rich.
Wow.
You could have blown me over with a feather. I felt like the biggest heel in the world. And at that very time, the teacher walked in.
Okay.
So I had no time to say anything. As soon as class was over, I apologized, asked her to forgive me. I am so sorry. I had no clue, you know, that what you'd gone through. So then the next class I got together 2 days later, I sat beside her.
Okay.
I checked, are you okay? Are you doing all right? You know, I am so sorry. So I felt indebted.
Mm-hmm.
So all during the semester, I could see that she was over her ears and understanding because she was an elementary ed major. This was a pretty deep theology class. She had no clue what was going on. So I volunteered to help her study for a midterm, and she said, oh, that'd be wonderful. And then she asked if I would be willing to help her on the yearbook staff. She was the editor the next year of the yearbook, and I told her I'd help her, so I became her assistant. So we spent all this time together. I mean, wee hours of the morning. This is back in the day where you did nothing by computer. You did everything by T-square and actually pasting pictures onto a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent all this time together, went to chapel together, we sat together, but I never dated her, never thought about dating her because she was a widow.
Okay.
And finally, the next summer, we had gone to a Bible study every Wednesday night at a married couple's home, and we all decided the next summer, let's all write each other.
Okay.
And so she had braces put on her teeth that summer. And so at the end of that month, she sent me a little book that she'd put together with pictures of what every day was like. And she sent pictures of the day she got braces, and the only thing she could eat was a bowl of soup. So she had a picture of a bowl of soup. At the end of the whole thing, she wrote, "Love, Ruth."
Ooh.
And I said, "What? What? Love?" And I began to think, what would it be like to love Ruth? I pulled out that list of character traits. Okay. Well, she's got this, 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 she's got this. Oh, my goodness, she's got everything I'm looking for.
Wow.
So at that point, I knew we were such good friends, I didn't want to do anything to hurt that relationship. And so I began to pray, Lord, if it is not your will that we marry, don't give me peace to ever ask her out on a date.
Okay.
But if it is your will, then I want you to give me peace. And so I prayed for the next 2 months. And at the end of 2 months, God gave me peace. She's the one.
I hate to break it to you, but I think you're doing a lot of dating, even though you didn't realize it.
Well, she had no clue that we were dating.
I guess.
Because whenever we'd go somewhere, we'd go to a restaurant, she'd pay for her stuff, I'd pay for my stuff. Finally, when I realized she was the one, I asked her out, and I paid for everything. But she still didn't realize that we were dating until months later I told her I loved her, and she said, "What are you talking about? We're just friends." I said, "Well, yeah, we're just friends, but I think, there's no question. I love you." And she said, "In my mind, love and marriage go together." I said, "Mine too."
Okay, so I think you both are on the right track here.
We're on the same track, and so because we knew each other so well, we'd spent so much time together, we'd been through times of discouragement and defeat and highs and lows, there wasn't anything we were hiding. We knew each other well. And so consequently, I often tell people, I married my best friend.
And you know what, Pastor? It appears that way every time I see you together. It's, again, if there's any couple I've ever met that is the real deal, it's you and Ruth. And
yeah.
I think you've explained why that happened. Well, let me go back to something you said right when we started. Something about that you were a Christian, and not only would you not date, if you will, non-Christians, but you significantly up ante in what you were looking for. As a pastor and as a counseling pastor, can you expand on that a little bit? I know there's a lot of Christians that are like, well, you know, I should marry or consider dating an unsaved person because of my great testimony, maybe they'll come to Christ eventually. What do you think about that?
You'll never find evangelistic dating in the Bible,
okay. Ever.
And so it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? They have to be walking in the same direction. The only two people that can do that are people who are both unsaved or both saved.
So a Christian, quite frankly, biblically, is obligated to marry a Christian only.
Exactly.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that.
All right. Well, folks, we've run out of time. We'll continue this same discussion next time we're together, and Dr. Rich will be sharing just his personal testimony about how the Lord led him to meet his wife and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she was the one for him. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.